Welcome to Enter the Crucible.
Welcome to episode 7 of Enter the Crucible. I am Matthew, aka Mayhew, one of your co-hosts, and I'm joined today by
Clint,
John,
Pirate Captain,
Jeff,
and Matt.
And for this week, we have a quick. What are you working on?
Very quick.
So, Jeff, what are you working on right now?
At the exact moment.
At this exact moment, I am basing Idrian's.
Riveted. Okay.
Yes. For the podcast.
Yes.
A week from now.
For next week's time. You got a whole week.
And, Mayhew, just be Mayhew.
Just be Mayhew.
At the beginning of it. Don't be Matthew, a.k.a. Mayhew. Just be Mayhew.
I'm no, Carter, by the way.
Just don't.
Not John, that's a lie.
Yeah. I was wondering why you said that.
Yeah, that's
a terrible name.
John Carter is a terrible name?
No, John is a terrible name. If you're named John, you should feel bad.
No, but it's a horrible movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. They couldn't build a good franchise on the name.
Why nobody liked my biography. I don't get it.
No.
That is a true story.
It is a true story.
A documentary.
I thought it was a little early to make that documentary, but they insisted. They didn't do it very well.
No.
They left Zinch out of it. That was kind of...
It did.
I mean, that was artistic license, I guess.
This is not a 40K podcast.
No, it's his bird.
Yeah, I know. I have a pair named Zinch. I know.
Yep, we're in trouble.
I know.
It's,
oh, damn
it's
it.
GW.
We just got shut down again.
Oh, no.
Games Workshop.
GW.
I'm surprised they haven't killed your bird yet.
We own you.
He has to pay $5 a month for
change
the right to have
this.
A bird named Zinch. We're going to spell it differently.
Zinch, change
I'm
completely.
I'm working on a repaint of my Scorn.
You are. Your scheme is way better now, by the way.
Yeah, the new
better.
Scheme.
Yep.
Your razor hounds look good.
And then you decided to go with purple and black?
Purple, black with a little
and
bit
then,
of blue.
And then after going to GigaCon and seeing Mr. Joe's blue and Scorn army...
His army looked really
good.
Yeah,
it looked pretty snazzy. It was pretty nice.
I got to be honest, when I saw his Razor Hounds, I thought you painted them.
Oh. Well, that's quite the compliment.
That
you,
is
Mayhew.
Quite the compliment.
That's why I picked it up and asked. I said, Mayhew, did you paint this?
While you were having a stroke.
No, honestly, the way you shaded like the skin and whatnot looked very, very reminiscent of Carter's style.
I may have tried to teach him a few things. It's
and
hard.
And
I think
fine.
That might have been the nicest thing Matt's ever said about someone else's painting.
I think Carter's a fantastic painter. I complimented your painting out of the blue yesterday, did I not?
You did. You did indeed. Actually, it was this morning.
It was this morning.
Do you guys want to go make out in the back, or are we going to finish
No,
this
we'll
podcast?
Do it right here.
I've had two paint...
We've got a camera, right?
Clear room on the table.
We do have a camera.
Okay.
I have two paint senseis I've had for the past couple of years by default. And it's just like, how did you get better painting, Mayhew? I was like, well, Carter occasionally walked by and looked at my miniature and said, this is garbage, and threw it at me.
Yes, garbage was the words that I used.
Yes.
You're like a typical Asian father.
I am indeed.
This is awful. Do better. Why are you not doctor?
You'll get better at painting when I actually start painting.
Oh,
really?
Wow. So you got that to look forward to.
Yeah, 2019.
2025.
You're going to be mad when my circle looks awesome.
No, we'll be happy. We'll be happy you actually
when
did
the Social
something.
Security checks start coming in, it'll give him more time to paint.
No, look, for my motivation, I need you to be mad.
It's the anger
it
that fuels
so far.
Me.
It hasn't.
Whatever, Pirate Captain walked in with Vindication, you know, like a week ago after we filmed the game with me and Clint, which was not like 2 hours ago.
yes.
That he had it on film that I played a game.
We went to Tijuana in between.
We did go to Tijuana.
The game and now. Tijuana. So that had to be at least a week.
It was very flat there.
I got some enchiladas.
Very flat. Someone ate a lot of fajitas.
I love the fajitas.
Especially the steak ones.
Clint's wife was there. It got awkward.
Yeah.
It was.
Really awkward.
So, Jeff, are you working on anything currently?
We just covered that.
We just talked about
that. Oh, did we?
Thanks for making it.
I'm sorry. I don't listen to what you people talk about.
No, you don't.
Yes, because you're our Asian father.
Jeff, have you remembered any games from GigaCon that you might want to share?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right. So we had a game played last week.
Last week.
It was Matt versus Clint. Clint, what was your thoughts on that particular game?
I'm sorry, forgive me. What were the two casters again?
It was Miserable Meat Mountain. Since you haven't been on the podcast for months.
Well, I mean, most of the time when people recap, they actually say, you know, what armies were played, not who played.
We have better listeners. Yeah.
We have,
they're not dedicated to the, you
we
know,
have more attentive listeners.
Except for Carter.
For all the listeners out there, minus, I think, my Alabama, Mississippi, Asians, a few others.
Georgia.
we're referencing the GigaCon.
For all the white people in the North.
Have we already crossed out all the South and all that
pretty
because
much.
Of the comments we've made?
I think Florida is still all right with us.
Well, if we didn't, we have now. Thank you, Jeff.
Good work. We love
you,
Florida.
Florida.
This may not even air because we've already upset GW, so... We'll get a cease and desist.
All soon. Right.
So you hear that knocking on the door?
Carver versus E. Grissel. Yeah. How'd it go?
It went after we derped around for the whole game.
Whatever. That was flawless.
It was a flawless game played. Yeah.
A blueprint, a textbook manual.
Rules
right
have
there.
Get in the way in that one quite a bit.
Yeah, rules get in the way. Order of activations. What's that? I want one of those. Oh, there's
I
only one left.
Rush animus,
oh.
But it's helpful.
He should just be speed 6 and not need a rush animus. So yeah, we derped around a lot, and luckily I derped around the beginning and in the middle and towards the end, but not at the last turn.
Turn together.
So the person who derps last loses, apparently.
Yeah, fair.
Not first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Just the last one.
Just last.
I think it was an interesting matchup, and you had a solid plan going through it, Matt.
I did. Yeah. I messed it up a little bit. Carter was the first to tell me that my placement of Carver was terrible. And I realized it like after the second turn I moved him. I was like, ha, this is awful. But
Was he behind a wall?
And you no, there was no wall.
No, oh, really?
Mayhew set up a table, and there was no walls. Oh. I cannot believe that actually happened.
I couldn't find the
another
walls.
First for.
yeah,
so we get free
one,
wall
why.
Templates from GigaCon, and we aren't using them.
No,
they're at the fun castle,
along with everything else that belongs to you.
Yes, yeah, I leave everything. At least now I'm 2 minutes away from you.
Yeah, it is nice. They moved closer to me to be close to me.
Yes,
it was
that's
cute.
Why. Not because it had a game room built in already.
Yeah, I know.
That is such a sweet.
But
game
the game room. Was fun. Honestly, that was my big thing. The game was fun. It was close. I had a plan. I think I'm pretty sure Krint had a plan.
Krint had a plan.
And we both had a very
sounds
very
like
even
you, Carter,
chance to win the game. I think I don't know. I enjoyed playing the game.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was more fun than watching. I thought it would be.
I wanted to punch myself in the head.
Yeah.
On the second to last turn, but
rush that you should have done that.
So how you like Targ making tough checks?
Yeah.
Oh,
double chop checks.
That is what. And I normally I'm not a tilt guy. But that put me on tilt, and then I just, I want to say that's why I forgot Rush, but I did get into a little.
I don't think you should
little...
sell yourself short.
Okay, so I'm just an idiot?
Yeah.
And Targ was a little frustrating. It was frustrating, because the plan for that turn was I kill Targ, all those beasts have to run back to Carver next turn, or Carver has to run back over, either way. And I just have to kill some
Slaughterhousers
and Saxon Oryk, and then I'm good. So when Targ didn't die, then my warders couldn't kill two beasts and a full unit and Saxon Oryk. And so that's when I had to go for the assassination that was quickly planned and poorly executed.
I think it actually might have worked out in your favor, because if you had showed up with Mulg, I was sitting on... Three transfers?
I think you only had two at that
Two
point.
Transfers?
It was probably 60% that I was out, in my mind. Yeah. Out of range. So...
Because your Axer wouldn't have been able to hit Carver. The Warder didn't do all that much.
Oh, yeah. Quake doesn't work on a battened Carver.
Yeah.
Learn that.
Nice to know. Also, when you activate your caster and like pop feet, you should probably do stuff aside from going to your next... Unit activation.
Yeah,
that was
I'm
quite
aware
the gratuitous
that.
Take back.
Oh, also, turn one feet, popping feet is not good either.
No, not a good idea. And we discussed why. We discussed why.
Oh, well, good.
Quite
I'm glad.
Extensively. Yeah,
so they all know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just like seeing the gap.
I think we made like lots of mistakes, but the game was fun.
Yeah, well,
no,
you,
I agree.
You know.
Yeah. It's fun to watch.
Good game.
Fun to
commentate. Basically, you are watching this podcast to see painted armies
and what not to do,
and a robotic camera.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's
and that's about it.
If only we could get the camera on camera.
A robotic camera, awesome, which Mayhew just did not use hardly at
competitive
all.
Competitive play.
Unless you're going to zoom in on my
I'm
guys,
controlling it next episode.
I think you moved the camera maybe three times.
We learned he can't multitask. So if he was touching the camera, he can't talk. If he had to check something on his phone, he could not move the camera or talk. It was very interesting.
Somebody was having a hard time getting here. Jeff.
Well, that's par for the course.
Yeah, it took a whole week.
Yeah,
it did.
It took him a week to get here. And we're only like 7 blocks away from the studio.
From the studio.
Professional sound studio.
Yeah.
Your house is not the studio.
This is the studio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Try to convince my wife of that.
The bi-weekly install.
You could call it Kelly's studio.
Oh, yeah. That's
it could be Kelly's studio.
It's Kelly's studio.
Studio de Kelly.
At least half of it is.
Come on, half.
Half?
Come on.
Half?
So, for our bi-weekly installment of Clint's Caster Cliff Notes Corner of Clintness.
This one was well thought out, I can tell.
Yes.
Carver can't be knocked down by Quake. Is that a good one?
Let's talk about Carver's feet. I think that was notable.
Yeah, Carver's feet was pretty ball-busting. And it would have been a lot less had I feed it at the correct time, but still would have been very painful.
Let's be honest.
MVPs
of that game, Bone Grinders.
The takeaway? Like, you got to watch out for Bone Grinders.
Clint's Caster Corner. Champions cannot hold up against Bone Grinders in Melee.
To be fair, neither can Chaosy Assassins.
You freed up Alton Ashley for that second list.
Which is okay, because no one will ever see Bone Grinders.
Actually, there's a lot of troll lists that have bone grinders in them.
Yes,
in my opinion,
seven bone grinders.
I've been talked down to five. Five units of bone grinders.
No,
in the
seven's good.
Okay, seven. All right, we'll work it out.
Does Midas reduce the cost of them?
He doesn't. He just makes them unlimited.
That would be
ridiculous.
They're 2 points.
Yeah, they're 2 points for a main unit.
Yeah, you can
5 point cost units.
You can get them down to one.
He just has curse bone grinders.
Cricks have that.
No, they don't.
0.25? They don't
I'm
have
sure
0.25?
One third's the best. 3-4 point. Trap thralls. It's as good as it gets.
Mechanic thralls or what?
They're 10 for 5, so 0.5. And dredges under the body and salty are also 0.5. Oddly enough.
Interesting.
Oh, happy day.
Champions are 2 points each.
Segue into our next matchup. Today we're going to match up John Carter's Body and Soul, Epic Denegra tier.
No, just John Carter's Body and Soul.
Body and Soul. It's going to be a very existential video.
It's just you waxing poetic.
It's going to get awkward for everybody.
Today's the day Body and Soul gets removed from the
rotation
of lists that need to be played on
and
the
before
podcast.
Before we go off,
everybody but Jeff is happy.
Yeah, who he's going to play against. I put out a call. I was like, I want Body and Soul on this podcast. Who wants to take up the call? Silence for like about an hour. And then Jeff's like, I'll do it. So Jeff is playing.
And then it's followed up.
No. To be fair, Jeff goes, I'll do it. What's Body and Soul?
Yeah, that's it's all you need to know.
To be fair, I think Kruger 1 can handle it, but Kruger 1's not painted.
Yeah, Kruger runs actually.
Also, that's the first game and probably the last that you'll play.
A body
on the
and
podcast.
Soul usually would not get dropping in circle under any circumstance.
What would you drop? Who do you pair with?
Just any other Peace Gar.
But like when you went, who did you pair with?
Well, I only brought Body and Soul to Masters, so I had Peace Gar and P. Denny. Denny shooting. I'd probably drop Peace Gar against Circle. Circle just folds to her usually. Granted, there's answers, obviously.
Chromat can handle her.
I haven't lost that game yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I don't think you played it.
3 times.
Okay, not against me.
There's a lot of games you haven't lost.
True. Just saying, I've beat Scar 3 times.
It's a close
game.
Rhett,
it's a good
Signar.
Matt has very vivid dreams.
Yeah. I've played Mike with Scar twice, and I played a guy in a tournament with Scar.
Oh, yeah? My Gunbjorn list, undefeated.
Yeah, your Gunbjorn list is good.
Undefeated.
I don't think Gunbjorn's ever been on the table.
So Jeff's got P7.
Me, Mountain's undefeated.
Yes, P7
on the podcast.
So let's
Adrian's are undefeated.
Adrian's are they?
No.
I think no.
Their opening game was against a man I like to call Gunbjorn. They did not win that game.
Snap.
Douche.
And me and Jeff had a test game, which actually was really close too. But
he still lost like a little girl.
It was a good game.
So Carter, tell us about Epic Denegra first. Introduce her to new players and
Why shouldn't we hate her and you?
You eat Denny.
That's a tough sell.
Yeah, you should hate anybody playing Edini. No, I'm just kidding. She's one of the better casters for sure. She definitely makes the A-list for good reasons. Her stats are similar to Prime version. She's a 16-14. She's got 7 focus. Her weapon is similar. It's a reach power 12. She's only mat 5. It gains a really nice rule called Dark Banishment. Dark Banishment, essentially, if you damage an enemy model, you can place it within D6 plus 1 for however many focus you have on you. And it's completely within. So hitting a caster with that, whacking them into the middle of your army, turning around so everybody's backstroke.
Possible 13 inches away?
Yeah, just however long. It's ridiculous. She has Seduction as an action, always handy. She still has Parry from her prime form. She has Coleslaw. And the biggest change, I think, from her prime incarnation is Wraithwalker. Every other turn, she can go incorporeal. Well, essentially, if she didn't go incorporeal last turn, she can go incorporeal. So having your caster incorporeal is just invaluable, especially for a Denny who wants to advance forward and spend all her focus. So being incorporeal to live is crucial.
It's slightly more challenging than her prime version because you're alternating it.
Yes, and then you also and you lose stealth.
Yeah, and
she
you
had stealth before.
And you're also having to manage, like, okay, what can actually kill me this turn?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you're playing Edini, you're just always looking for a Yannon Holt on the other side of the board, which is why a lot of people throw them in the Crix matchup.
Also, she's undead, right?
She is undead. She gained undead.
Because she died.
Let's see here. Her spell list, she
got better. The Negra died.
And then she got better.
She got better. It got better, literally. She has Hellmouth.
Better.
Is probably her signature spell. Hellmouth is a 4 cost, so it's a big investment. But if you directly hit an enemy model, or any model, all models within 3 inches are pulled directly towards that model, and then you place a 3-inch AoE, and everybody takes a power 12, and it removes from play. Has a lot of utility. It's a big money spell. You can kill lots of infantry if they're clumped up the right way. A lot of spell immune targets. You can just run one of your own guys in there, like a Drudge or Mechanithral, and just hellmouth them in the back.
And remove some play, too, which is ball busting sometimes.
She has Venom from her first incarnation, which is a power 10 auto corrosion spray 8. She has Ghostwalk, as a lot of Crix casters do, so. Basically, Super Pathfinder, immune to free strikes. Curse of Shadows, that's a good one she picked up. It's a upkeep spell that you apply to enemy model unit, -2 armor, and that unit cannot make free strikes, as well as you can advance through that unit as long as you can move completely past them. So effectively, it's like inverse incorporeal. Like you can move through a unit. You can stop stuff from screening. That's a big money spell. Mark for Death is another big one. -2 defense, they lose stealth and cannot gain incorporeal. And friendly models can target the model, that model unit, regardless of line of sight.
Scorn needs Mark for Death.
Yes, with a mammoth. No, thanks.
I mean, I already give it Isle of Sight.
So she buffs crappy things, like crappy mat stats like Mechanithralls, or just makes good mat stats even more insane. Also, if you Mark for Death, like an opposing caster, you can have guns just go at her like a Kraken or something. Mark for that's pretty sweet. And Pursuit, which I think we covered in the Kray matchup. It's you put on a model unit. If it advances, a model in your battle group can move. And that's a big one, particularly in this list. And her probably craziest ability for Edini is her feet. Web of Shadow. Enemy models currently in Jenga's control area except for Shadowbind for 1 round. If you're Shadowbound, you cannot move except to change facing, and you suffer -3 defense. So she has a crazy ball-busting control feat. She's one of the best scenario casters in the game. You can just lock an enemy's army down. Unless they have place effects, they really have no way around it.
Which or some sort of Kurger would actually do okay against
or Circle in general. Or Circle, yeah. We're not talking about Circle. Closer to the mic. That's why she usually doesn't play against Circle.
Or some way to like bring models onto the table.
Yeah. It's a pulse. It's not an aura. Her list is the Body and Soul. It's a tier 4. It's a no-quarter tier that came out relatively recently. I think they were just trying to make Drudges appealing, and to me they did a great job. The benefits are the tier are that... Let's see what you can take on the tier. You can only take effectively Cephalix models, so like the Overseers, the Drudges.
You can take Mechanithralls, Necrosurgeons, Biothralls, Deathjacks, non-character Warjacks. And as far as the solos goes, the ones that are significant, you take a Scarlock Thrall, Warwitch Sirens, and Ragman, which was an interesting addition to the tier, I thought. I was like, oh, that's a gimme. If you only take the models listed above, Cephalic units gain a point deduction, so Overseers become 3 points instead of four, which I think they're bargain at three.
Yeah, they're awesome at three.
And Drudges become 5 points instead of six, which I still think Drudges aren't worth 5 points. I think they're garbage at 5 points, or six, for that matter. It's the next benefit that makes them worthwhile, and that's they gain advanced deployment if you take a Mindslaver and Drudge unit.
Which is a negative.
Yes, according
to... Advanced deployment is always a negative, especially on Deathjack.
Yes. That's been an argument people have had.
That's, yeah.
Anytime you can advance deploy... Sarcasm. ...like that, especially with a scenario caster like Denny, it gives you a huge board presence. And especially when they're cheap. So that's nice.
Yeah, cheap.
You get plus one your starting roll for the game if you take a Cephalix Overlord unit, which is money with the Denny. Usually you always want to go first with the Denny just because she's one of the few casters that can score scenario opponents on the bottom of turn two for your opponent's side. Even though you win first and your opponent gets the first opportunity to score, if you feed him out of the box and you're holding it, especially with all those AD units, you can score.
I've played against her so many times, it's so frustrating. It's like I have to manage not losing that quickly. It's like I like setting up my turns a lot, and it's just like, well, I'm feeded on, so... Crap.
And as some scenarios, it's just an auto loss for your opponent. Yeah. It's not a very fun game for anybody, but that's why she's one of the better tournament casters out there, just because she has that potential to do that. So a lot of opponents will have to position themselves in a bad spot just to avoid it.
Yeah.
So the plus one really helps. And her tier four benefit, which is just bonkers, is she gets to start with her upkeeps in play. All her upkeeps are offensive upkeeps. I think this is the only tier that actually lets you start with offensive upkeeps out on the opposing army. The restrictions are you have to do it before deployment, and it cannot go upon the opposing caster. When I first started playing, I didn't read that too careful, so I was putting like Mark for Death on people's casters. But getting pursued out on the top of one, if your opponent goes first, you can pursue Denny Ford, get her closer so she can feed on more of their army, or the Deathjack. You can really hamper an opponent. If you get first turn, run the Deathjack forward, have him in a position where he can threaten something. Oh, you're pursuing. You don't have quite enough movement to actually threaten the Deathjack, but you move something. The Deathjack moves forward. Now he's almost on your advanced deploy line on turn one.
It's one of those things like I just learned that if you're putting pursuit on something, I have no way to remove it. I might as well just move the pursuit target. It's at a certain point, you can't take something out of the game just to...
I've had people do it. And if you have E-Eris, Eris is on the opposing side of the board. That's usually their only upkeep removal. Pursuit goes on her. She wants to shoot Denny real bad. You can stop her with pursuit. She can't knock it off herself. Mm-hmm. She can knock off the other upkeeps, Mark for Death and Curse of Shadows, but not pursuit. Mm-hmm. As far as the list construction goes, you have a Arc Node in the battle group. Either usually a Night Wretch or a Death Ripper. I wave back and forth on which one I like. I'll be taking a Night Wretch or a Death Ripper in this game. Deathjack. He's part of the tier, and with AD pursued out already, it's a no-brainer.
And the fact that you can cast Hellmouth.
Exactly. That's the only way you can get two Hellmouths out. You can get give two to the Deathjack. E-Denny has five focus to get a Hellmouth with the boost, potentially, and the Deathjack can cast Hellmouth, too. So double Hellmouth's fantastic. As far as solos go, you have the Scarlock Thrall. Anytime you have Ghostly on your card, Scarlock Thrall's always worthwhile.
Agreed.
The Venom, the Curse of Shadows. A lot of times I'll Curse of Shadows my own units because I'm tripping my own way and I want to move past my guys. So instead of blocking myself in, a Scarlock would just Curse of Shadows one of my forward units. Aside from that, we have the two Warwitch Sirens, no-brainers. You have to take them for the tier. Ragman, also no-brainer. You have to take him for the tier to get the tier 4 benefit. You have three... max units of Cephalix Drudges, which is the part where my opponents are usually scratching their heads. But you have 30 advanced deploying tough armor 15 models that are living, and that's very important because what's also in the list is two Necrosurgeons and two units of 10 Mechanithralls. So I have 20 Mechanithralls that are standing in my deployment zone, 30 Drudges in front of them, and Necrosurgeons that are collecting corpses. So by the time I get to my opponent, I've made 6, 12 Mechanithralls, and the Drudges are just completely expendable. And every now and then they'll hit. They got a power of 13 base. They hit pretty hard.
And they have like combined melee attack.
Yeah, they have a combined melee too. So a double combined, mat 7, power 15.
That's, and they're fearless.
Fearless is also really crucial. Obnoxious.
So it's like when your opponent's looking across the table, there's 30 models backed up by 20 models right behind them, but they're pressuring on the first turn. And you're talking about Epic Denny, so her feet's in play. So.
And there's a death check there, yeah. And you're starting the game with almost 70 models. Granted, it's hard to play in time turns, but I've got it down pretty decent. There's a lot of turns I time out, but not all my activations are crucial.
Oh, no, this one drudge unit didn't activate. Oh.
Yeah. This is the one comforting part of the list, however, is you own 30 drudges. And you have painted 30 drudges.
I have.
And have you seen they're making new plastic drudges?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And goblins?
Yes. It's like, oh, really? You guys are doing that to me? I know you wanted to sell all your metal dredges before the plastic ones came out.
And they did.
Good work. I bought all of them.
Yep, it worked.
Also, I forgot there's a unit of Cephalix Overlords, which bring the range 8, power 12 sprays.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of magical sprays. I mean, especially when I play Kador and have magical sprays.
They're nice, they're usually not a high priority target on a lot of people's lists, so they'll fly under the radar and get in there.
They have Sack Pond, right?
They have Sack Pond, the dredges.
Yeah.
So... I mean, the dredges, they have a lot of weaknesses. They're only speed 5. They don't have a reach. Their unit leader is an actual officer, so if you kill him, you're stuck with a command 4 dredge as your unit leader, which is really crappy. luckily, he has Sack Pawn as well to the dredge unit. A magic spray or something will take him out, or if you get to him in melee. By the time the dredges commit to where the officer's in danger, usually I don't care. They just get stuck in and they kind of grind it down.
And this is one of your more proficient tournament lists now.
Yeah, only game I've lost in a tournament was against Brian White in GigaCon. I kind of derped hard, and I had a really good opportunity to kill him dead. I just engaged a drudge with a colossal when I didn't mean to.
And I would
cover that.
I would be remiss to mention the epic run at Crucible.
Yes, Crucible 3. We played the Revolui qualifier tournament, and I went 5-0, and I dropped E. Denny. Body and soul every round against Harbinger, against Mike Pierre, against a 3-mo tier list, which should be one of the lists you point to actually kill that many guys. And as far as anti-infantry goes, it is so obnoxious. There's 30 tough models, power 15, which usually gets around a lot of the power 10 shots. You know, people will hit the 5s and 4s that won't kill them, or you start making tough rolls and you're bringing McThralls back. Your infantry is usually not good enough. Mm. No matter how much you have, it's usually not good enough.
It forces your opponent in a situation where they have to manage not losing on scenario. Trying to out attrition that army is very hard.
Yes,
you have to have a pretty strong strategy to not lose on scenario and at least be contesting it.
Absolutely.
While you're getting charged by mechanothralls
and I can just stick your caster in place, run a death jack up to you, and be like, "Can you kill a death jack at range?" I hope you can, because he's getting to you next turn.
Jeff just raised his hand.
Jeff can.
I can do it.
Unless I can. Yeah. So it's a good list for a lot of reasons. It has an attrition game. Not that many lists can go the distance with 70 models with a fantastic recursion mechanic behind it. It has a decent assassination. E. Denny, whenever she's on the table, you have assassination presence. If she can teleport the enemy caster into the middle of her army, it's usually game over. If death check, you can stick them in place, get a death check there, it's usually game over. And her scenario game is it's one of the best scenario games in the whole war machine. It's phenomenal. Her feat just sets her up beautifully for it. Having 30, 80 units. Now, Raiders are usually better at it, but having just 30 drudges, jam a zone out. They're all tough. You don't care. You're just going to feet, clear the zone, start scoring, kill Denny now, or you're going to lose in scenario. And that's usually how you lose.
Yeah.
You just lose E-Denny. And I like the body and soul compared to maybe a vanilla E-Denny list because you don't necessarily need to commit E-Denny quickly. Your army is really good at grinding. So you can just let your army grind, have E-Denny sit back, work through her arc node, save your feet. You don't necessarily need the feet, and you don't risk her as much. So if I want to backline with E-Denny, which is something she usually doesn't want to do, I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, and you have a great front line. That front line lasts
Absolutely.
A while.
It's only mat 5, but you're making so many attacks, and you have so many guys, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, okay, so next up we have Jeff playing Prime Severius. So, Jeff, why don't you run us through Prime Severius himself real quick, and then we'll get into your list.
Okay, as far as Prime Severius, his His stats aren't all that fantastic. I mean, defense 14, armor 14.
Old man stats.
Old man stats. But with 8 focus, I mean, it makes it manageable. A big thing that helps him as well is he's got Sacred Ward, so he can't be targeted by enemy spells. That helps with the assassination.
And vision.
And okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. One thing a lot of people forget about, and I do as well, it doesn't come up much, but he has the action convert. So in his command range of 9, he can target an enemy living non-caster trooper model and force him to make a command check. If they fail, becomes a solo for his army for the rest of the game. What's Drudge's command?
They're pretty garbage. I think they're like a 5. No, or 4. They're a command 4.
Wow. All right. Well, that might happen today.
All right. So all you need to do is get up within 9 inches of a Drudge, and now you have a Mat 5.
Mat 13.
Now I only have 29 13. Drudges to deal with.
Yeah, to be exactly. fair, if you were a Drudge, you would convert to Minoth really quickly.
Fairly. Well, anyway. But as far as his weapon, he's just... POW 13, magic reach weapon with his staff. Nothing to talk about too much there. But his spell list is pretty flippin' phenomenal. He's got Ashes to Ashes, which is a cost 4 spell, range 8. POW 10, if a target enemy model is hit, D6 nearest enemy models within 5 inches suffer a POW 10 fire damage roll. POW 10 isn't all that fantastic off the bat, unless you are also adding Eye of Menoth, which is a spell that I'll keep up pretty much all the time. Models in his command area, friendly faction models, gain +1 to their attack and damage rolls, so that makes it a POW 11. Also, if he's arcing it through the Blessing of Vengeance, which is in my list, that gives him a +2 to the damage. So right there, now it's all POW 13s instead of POW 10s. And that makes a huge difference. I think Carter was just talking about armor 15 Drudges. POW 10s, you can flub that, but when I need a 3 to kill on 2d6, it makes it a lot easier to force tough rolls on him. Death Sentence is a good one as well. Friendly faction model, if it misses an enemy target with an attack, it can re-roll that attack. Can only do that once. But it's a big deal if you're trying to hit something with a little bit higher defense.
It's dice fixer. I mean, it's offensive, yeah. But it's dice fixer.
I mean, it's not as good as Emorvana. Hey, I'm going to spend some hit points and get it all back and do this again every time I want to. Right. But
and affect the whole table with that.
Yeah, this is just one unit. Right. But also has Defender's Ward, +2 armor, +2 defense. Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal on any Minoth caster. Immolation doesn't get used too much, but if you need to, it works pretty well. Range 8, POW 12, fire damage on a critical hit causes a continuous fire effect. That's fairly useful in assassination runs if you need it with Sevi, because he can cast it 4 times. And then Vision, next time a friendly faction model is directly hit by an enemy attack, it suffers no damage from the roll and Vision expires. That's great to throw on... in my list are either Reckoner or the Vessel or the Blessing of Vengeance.
The Blessing of Vengeance is annoying with that.
I don't understand why. But as far as Sevi, that's what's in there. As far as my list makeup. Feet? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, his feet. His feet is called Divine Mike.
Not important.
For 1 round, enemy models cannot cast spells and lose the Arc Node advantage while in his control area. While in Sevarius's control area, enemy models... with the focus manipulation ability, do not replenish focus during the next controller's turn. That's fantastic against Kricks. That's fantastic against any war machine. Yeah, any warcaster that you catch in that. It's like, all right, you and your jacks aren't going to do much of anything next turn.
And even the can't cast spells have some corner case situations like druids or
Cephalix overlords, Warwitch sirens.
Yeah. Yeah,
Grey Lords, Grey Lord Outriders.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
it shuts a lot of that down, which is a lot of fun. As far as the makeup of the list, it's a Reckoner, Blessing of Vengeance, the Vessel of Judgment, a Hierophant, a Choir, Idrian Skirmisher is a full unit with the Chieftain and Guide, a full unit of Holy Zealots with the Monolith Bear. And Prime Eris.
Aeon Holt.
And Aeon on Holt, I'm sorry. Prime Eris and Aeon on Holt. As far as the reason for some of the things being in there, with the Idrians having Prey and Combined Range and the additional abilities that they have, adding Aeon on Holt just seemed logical in the list because you can give them. I mean, they're if they can pray your caster and they can put them all on magic weapons and Denny's incorporeal that turn, it's like, oh, well, let's see if I can shoot her.
I believe that Idrian's with Prime Servers is a pirate captainism.
It is. It is. It was.
I think this is a phenomenal idea.
Well, I mean, you look at the stats on the Idrians, and you're like, oh, rat 5, range 10, pile 11. Well, if you're prey, if it's your prey target, you're now rat 7, pile 13. Mm-hmm. With I, you're now rat 8, pile 14. You get something
and
harmed.
You can combine.
Yeah, and you can combine, but if you have Aeon on Holt and you harm something, you're now rat 8, pile 16s. So the Death Jack is dice minus 3 on 12 guys shooting at him?
Yeah, and you have Assault and Battery on top?
Yeah,
and
we were talking about that last game, and I'm just raving about how I desperately wish I could have Assault and Battery on Signar units like Trenchers. The ability to shoot first and then charge, one, giving you more options, since a lot of times on Assault you lose the charge attack if the range attack does its job. Also, this is the only way you're allowed to combine range attack before a charge, and the thing that I find hilarious is that it does not stipulate that you it says you may charge or run, which also means that it completely overwrite and is a better form of bushwhack, because if you choose to, you can simply shoot and then run to retreat. I want that order desperately.
It's really good.
They also they also have camouflage. They also, with the UA, they also get combined melee attacks. So they have combined range and combined melee. And again,
Trollkin bandits.
Their weapons are pal 10s.
Ambush.
Pal 10s, not that
great.
Assault
battery.
Well, prey target makes them pal 12.
Combined range.
Harm makes them a 14. I makes it a 15. So now
three.
They're pal 15
we don't even have
on
to
the charge.
To Jeff anymore.
Yeah.
That, again, sounds terrible, right?
And then they have their mini feet on top of it where they can dig in for a turn?
Yeah, go to ground, which is for one round, they cannot be moved. For one round until the unit moves, they cannot be placed. They do not suffer for blast damage, and they do not block line of sight, the biggest thing is the blast damage.
And they gain cover.
Oh, and they gain
that's
cover.
Yeah, that's so, small detail.
Yeah, you add Defender's Ward on them. I believe that makes them a defense 19 against shooting, immune to blast damage.
And that was the thing that impressed me the most, because a common like anti-Menoth tact is like, well, if I have lots of guns, Aaron's don't like to be shot. Even under like Harbinger, where she, okay, I'll force you to martyr him a bunch of times if I just keep shooting your Aaron's. And you're just like, well, now these guys are defense 19. You're like, immune to blast damage?
Yeah.
That presents a problem to a lot of people.
But also I paired them with the Zealots, and Zealots, I think, for me, are the best roadblock that we have as far as an infantry unit.
One of the best roadblocks in the game.
I have Menoth, the best roadblock in the game.
Yeah, again, I have Menoth with Zealots is phenomenal, because they can fervor, which makes them rat 6. I makes them rat 7, and that pumps their direct damage on their bombs to pow 15.
17 with Aeon and Holt.
Pow 17. I have not.
I don't
with
like
this.
I don't. You should never play this list.
Yeah, not with this specific list. But I have killed a Stormwall with Zealots. He didn't have Arcane Shield up at the time. But when you're throwing,
so he wasn't really a Signar 7. Player.
Okay. Well, to be fair, I had Purification with Harby. It wasn't good enough.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, but 12 dice minus 2s was kind of awesome.
Purification.
Well, I don't have it in this list, which is going to be a big problem against Carter with it when he can put his upkeeps up.
Who do you think Pursuit's going on?
I think one of the
good question.
One of the interesting things we got to see, which really doesn't have much to do with this list, just how ridiculous the Blessing is, especially with Prime Severius, is the abilities on the Blessing to have the Repulsor Shield, which is when he is hit with a melee attack after resolving it. If the Jack is still alive and the shield is still functional, you bump the model that attacked you 1 inch back. That's normal also with the Revenger, whatever the actual...
Revenger.
Whatever the basic arc node is. The interesting thing is Blessing has Defensive Strike, which the same effect happens when you hit them with the Repulsor Shield. So what we've seen, I think Mayhew and Jeff were playing, is he had
a
Vision.
Back.
Yeah, we had Vision. It was Malik Klarn.
No, it was a bronze back, because Malakarn has reach. It was a bronze back that charged the Blessing. Which
we actually saw both, actually.
Okay, well, you defensive strike, and defensive strike just says you make a normal melee attack, which means I can use the shield, And when you bump him an inch backwards, he is no longer in range to swing at you.
Well, we saw with Malik Karn, who has reach, he charged you.
Didn't get base to
you base. Defense, he actually, even if he does, he does the defensive strike and backs an inch. And then Malik Karn hits him, which popped vision, so he took no damage. But the repulsor shield triggers on hit, which bumped him back another inch. So even if he base to base, he now can buy our... that one swing,
well,
and that is the only
time. He has sidestep,
time.
So it doesn't work on Willie Karn.
Actually, the funny thing was he had to sidestep to get there, so he actually got to watch all of this work, and basically...
and that was also the same game where, okay, Mo Karn got into the battle.
We need to hear about your failures. I think we covered that in the
GigaCon recap.
Yeah, we did.
So...
yeah, and
you couldn't kill.
That's
a battle
probably
engine.
The only way that
under Xerxes' feet, I couldn't kill a battle engine with Moloch Karn.
Probably the only way they could stomach me and Matt's game because of all the fail that happened beforehand with the battle reports
fail.
And stuff.
It
yeah, it was
fail.
A lot of fun fail,
it was
but
fun,
it got them
fail.
It got them used to the taste of fail on this podcast before they
and
watched.
Just let you know that you and I. A well-oiled machine.
Yes, yes, flawless is the word that comes to mind.
But that's all as far as the list. I mean, I have a few other things in there. I mean, a Reckoner, I mean, it's the best 8 points you can spend on a Jack.
Right.
Choir makes Reckoners. Him a little bit better. I mean, the only thing that I wish I had in the list was a Vassal to allow him to shoot twice to put it
in. Isn't that because you don't have his card with you?
No, I have him. Oh. He doesn't... choosing between giving the Reckoner a potential second shot or making sure that if I need to, I can put out two Ashes to Ashes a turn with still keeping up an upkeep with Eye and not losing that.
Your Reckoner is in the crux of that list, so I think you made
well,
the
I think
right
we
choice.
Also need to talk about the Menoth Battle Engine and just the... pamphlet that is its special abilities.
Folks, if you don't know what the Menoth Battle Engine does now,
buy War Room,
buy the Menoth deck, read the 10 paragraphs that are on that thing.
Only buy War Room if you have an Apple product. If it's not an Apple product, it's terrible. If it's an Apple product, it's really, really good.
All right, so the Vessel of Judgment armor.
That's
20,
because Apple
defense
products are
10.
Really, really good.
It's immune to fire. It has a range 12, pow 15 magical gun. And the first thing I want to point out, because I really screwed this up at Crucible, is it's a magical gun. It's not fire-based. I assume playing Menoth, because the Reckoner gun is fire, the Redeemer is a missile fire. I mean, the Vanquisher's gun is fire. I completely screwed that up. It's just magic. Which is a big deal. Again, with Eye of Menoth, it makes him a Rat 7, Pow 16. As far as the additional abilities that he has, his gun, once you've hit an enemy model, or just a model, D3 nearest enemy models within 5 inches take a Pow 10, which is boostable from him. It's a mini Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, I think
awesome.
You need to explain, because you may not be aware of this, but a lot of battle engines don't just get to boost whenever they want.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Actually,
yeah.
Some of them can't way, shape, or form.
Yeah, the rest of the abilities is destructive power. During its activation, this model can suffer 1 point of damage to boost an attack or damage roll. This damage is suffered before the roll is made.
Well, come
one
on, guys.
Point out of your
and it's just dirt.
736
you have,
points.
You have to take damage, so that's 20. That makes it fair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 point out of 24 boxes in armor 20.
Morvana.
Yeah. That can be repaired by a 1 point vassal.
Which is another thing people have asked me is why don't you have a mechanic? Well, I typically seem to roll high all the time, and like one out of five attempts I actually do repair. And if the game is going five turns... I'm either doing something really wrong or really something right.
His Weapon Master charge attacks are almost the same as his repair checks and dice rolls.
Yeah, I need. Yeah, anyway.
6-6-6-6.
He
six,
also
six,
has
six.
An ability called Holy Wow.
Hand grenade?
Yes.
Holy Wow.
Yeah. Wow, I can't even say this.
Reliquary?
Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Reliquary.
Did Mayhew just correctly pronounce something someone else couldn't do?
And it's part of a record now. We have that recorded.
Yes, nice. We do.
Well, we're done podcasting. We need to start over.
Yep, we've done it all.
We've now hit the pinnacle.
Next week on season two
of Enter the
Crucible.
Let me finish this. This model suffers D3 damage points each time it activates one of the following miracles. This damage is suffered before the miracle takes effect. Cleansing Aura. This model can activate this miracle once per turn at any time during its activation. When this model is activated, Animi and continuous effects on model units in the model's command range, which is a 10, immediately expire. Doors of Judgment, once per turn when a friendly faction warrior model in this model's command range is boxed by an enemy attack at any time other than when it's advancing, this model can use this miracle. The boxed model immediately can make a full advance and one normal attack. Then that boxed model is removed from play. The boxed model cannot be targeted by free strikes during this action.
Really sweet to put if your warcaster dies, unless it's piece heavy.
Yeah, he's not killing
him. He might do it.
The thing that makes that all dumb to me is the fact that you can do all of them like during a single turn.
Yep. You just got to spend
pretty much.
Question. Yeah. This is probably the deal breaker. Does Eye of Menoth go away when he dies and comes back through Doors of Judgment?
No, because I don't think you're actually dead yet.
No, he's not technically dead yet.
All right, that plus one, plus one.
It makes him a mat 6, pal 15, I think.
That can do it.
There's no way his 6 is a 14.
Dr. Chan.
It's a 13, I'm sorry.
There we go.
His walker.
Dr. Chan wanted to live the dream of
takes the tennis balls off.
Doors of Judgment Resnick after somebody killed him, walking over to the caster and swinging, put him on a rack, winning the game, and then Resnick dies.
Yeah, that's really the way to do it.
The last thing would be Eruption.
I think that's a pretty noble goal.
We're done. We're done with the rules. We can have a part 2. There's
Eruption of Faith.
Eruption of Faith.
Everybody
within
2 inches
goes 4 inches directly away and sets
fire.
There we
go. Actually, one of the interesting things...
I hate that ability.
Cleansing Fire, the one that is actually removing continuous effects and animi, does not specify friendly.
Nope.
And that is a big 10-inch range, so there's a chance that maybe, just maybe, that battle engine will be nice and extinguish the fire that Menoth has set on
and all the animi that Menoth casts.
Yes,
that too.
It's a big deal.
Can he even take any of the lesser warlocks, like the...
Can't you take...
Russian Brine?
I don't know. Who cares?
No.
Who gives shit?
Let me find out.
You might notice that Menoth doesn't have a lot of access to mercenaries, and no Menoth player has ever noticed because they've never bothered to look at anything that isn't their own amazing units already.
Because they're racist.
Kind of.
That's who helps.
Yet Ayana can show up. I think Holt vouches for her.
So, Matt, why aren't you playing Menoth?
I was playing Menoth.
Oh.
I gave all of my Menoth to Hefe. Because Hefe was not playing War Machine at the time.
I still have Temptations of Menoth that I have to keep
down. I still have
Temptations
of Menoth. The problem is the Menoth I wanted to play is the Menoth that Jeff plays.
I don't need a fifth faction.
No,
Dr. you don't.
Dr. Shane was here and talking about how he was just wrecking everybody with Testament, and I'm not sure that you have the balls to attempt and pull that off. I know Testament's your boy.
Yeah, he is. I love that guy. He doesn't have to talk. He doesn't need to
Testament's
talk.
Your boy.
So, real quick, guys, how do you feel about the matchup?
Well, I've played it a couple times, and it's usually a pretty good game. It's rather usually comes down to I have to decide if I want to go for Scenario or Assassination, and whether or not I can pull that off before all the magical damage kills eat any. Keeping her safe is an issue.
So I found out that whatever Eruption of Faith... No, not Eruption of Faith. Was the Continuous Effects and Animi...
Are you a fan of my Eruption of Faith?
So Pigpen. Can't have Pigpen in the list then.
Oh.
Can't have Rorsch and Brine, because you can take them, apparently. I guess you're not racist enough to turn down bacon?
I don't think anybody is.
I don't think anybody is.
That's
no.
True.
It's bacon.
Maybe. Bacon should just be accepted worldwide.
Okay, if that's
but
what
as far
have.
As how I feel about the
no,
matchup...
We're still bacon.
Okay, we're still bacon.
As far as I feel about the matchup, it really is going to come down to on whether or not I can just kill enough in shooting.
How many Weapon Masters do you have?
In this list?
I think none.
Zero.
Oh.
I'm going to throw it out there.
Oh, this game's over.
Crazy idea. Maybe you kill Edeni. Shh.
Yeah, don't tell me.
I'm right here.
I don't want to spoil the secret.
Yeah, that's...
but
I don't care if you kill drudges. Kill them away. In fact, if you don't kill a 6 a turn, I'm upset with you.
I have successfully dodged Body and Soul, but I've played a few Edeni games, and why don't you shoot her? Just throw it out there.
My money's like going to go right. on
Stop telling
Hefe
him tactics.
Because Hefe seems to Frankie Edgar a lot.
Yeah,
he always gets better in the rematch.
Oh, okay.
He's like a Saiyan.
Okay.
Dork. So.
I know you've seen Dragon Ball Z, Carter.
Yes.
Yeah. Carter used to run home from school every day with
no,
his backpack.
No, sir. I was
Dragon,
an extended day.
His satchel
I watched it at
behind
school.
Him.
You were an extended day?
I was.
For extra math?
He would take off his shirt whenever they were doing
my parents were late.
Up,
didn't love me enough.
Stand on the couch.
Call me. That's probably what Carter sounds like when he's making
this
love.
This has all been edited out.
All right.
Nope.
This has been Enter the Crucible.
This has been Enter the Crucible, episode 7.
Yes.
I'm going to sign off before anybody says anything Chain else. Attack.
What? Mise on Chain Attack.
Please join us next week.
Mise on Chain Attack. Road to War.
See you next week.
Forgot to feed Dark Omen.
Hit the switch.
We're going to play
Clockwork Vox.
Oh, and Dark Age. You got to paint Dark Age, too.
Dark Age. Dark Age.